The button.
Energies. We would produce a certain vortical door, morphogenic door that would open. And our mind would then receive the other symbols that would come through this great terminal system as a great musical transformer, a great computer transformer. The rooms thus are part of the amplification of our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to one theory. We can have the music. We have created now some sounds of the ancient resonance of the holy, 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 the Sanctus, the Kadoish, Kadoish, Kadoish. Listen. As we go through the face of the Sphinx and Einstein, relativity is conquered. We come off our cross of space and time.
Thank you.
values of life, so to speak. That which the Keys and Enoch refer to is with the We Are Christians, the garment of the Christ. We're going to stop at this point with the music. This is one of the many music documents we have, which we're going to acquire from the Academy. These songs, then, are specific harmonics that were part of an agreed-upon tuning intended for the increase of creative consciousness and for the active entrainment of the human psyche to altered states of consciousness. It would take the initiate psyche to increasing states of liberation, creativity, or inner psychological movements of ascension associated with the imperishable architects of Egypt who lived in the stars, connected with the realm of the Elohim. So the Keys of Enoch tell us that besides Egypt, in the world grid system, in the Near East, there are also places in Central Asia, in Russia, in the Tarim Basin, of Western China, and also in the islands off of Taiwan and Japan, the Yamaguni. I want you to pay attention, for these are the areas where we have worked very carefully with the Keys of Enoch to open up the time vaults or time doors to find the missing pieces of earlier history of the Adamic race. With permission of the Academy of Science in China, I was allowed to make a brief expedition in the 1980s into the Tarim Basin, and here I'm walking on top of one of the ancient hydraulic systems. These are massive waterways that run for literally hundreds of miles to the mountains, bringing water to cities. Now, of course, the boundaries of these cities represent the earliest building blocks of human civilization, and the mummies that have been found beneath some of these ruins predate the Egyptian mummies. In the 1950s, Chinese and Russian anthropologists had the opportunity to explore some of these ancient cities that seem to be sitting on the bottom of an ancient lake bed. You see the erosion lines, there were massive water movements, pool activity. And we see from the Book of Knowledge one of the pictures of one of the cities in Central Asia on top of one of the large mountains with no road leading up. It seems to be there as a result of chemical or vibratory lasers that were used to make cuts in near perfect markings in the side of the mountain face. Inside of one of these cities, spherical documents were found that had a cobalt vibration. Some of these documents were removed to Russia. 1991, the Chinese found in the region of Lop Nor strange bodies. Those near the surface, of course, reflected the various nomadic peoples that moved across the steppes of Asia in the last 2,000-3,000 years, but they found also a strange aspect of a pre-Chinese people, very much like the Celts, a people that may symbolize a proto-existence of a parent group in Central Asia that broke off, a portion of which went to Europe, a portion of which went to North India, a portion of which went to present-day China on the east side of the Eurasian landmass. We see here the mummified specimens. I was allowed to go beneath the earth, and I saw some of the exhibits. Some of them closer to the surface had racial features like the Hungarians, like the peoples of East Europe, the clothing of which was used. And there's a great debate going on now between anthropologists in the United States at the University of Pennsylvania and China, who really brought the wheel to the Far East. Did it come from these very special people, or did it come from a very noble people that were there in a pre-strata history? Here we see the face of one being that looks very much like a mountain there from Switzerland, with a strange star map or solar sign on his face. The Gurdjieff spoke of the brotherhood of the sun, Sun Mong, and sought to find the ancient brotherhood. This is an area that Buddhist tradition would call Shambhala, where the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the great avatars, came down from the higher worlds, bringing the knowledge of temple building, mathematics, and liberation. So what happened in China, the Chinese were very careful not to bring out this material at first because it showed that there was not a socialist model for the
history of China that these people had a vast talent in building hydraulic systems, which is a sign of higher civilization, had a vast communication system and a great mobility. In the Russian area of the near Tarim Basin, Dr. Uri Ochanov recently has worked with artifacts going back some 200,000 years. In a statement before the American Academy of Science, he speaks of unusual fossilized animal remains, and by a special dating technique using electron penetration, he finds that there are exhibits that go at least back some 14,000 years, showing that the world is much earlier in terms of Homo noeticus. A brief map which will show this particular area, which according to the teachings of the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, was the area of the Gan Eden, or the area of the Genesis account. And these lakes here are the remnants of a great flood, of a water catastrophe that took place, pushing people into the Black Sea area and other people into Kazakhstan and still other peoples into the Mongolian steppes. Now, the Oriental Heritage is very profound because it also contains documents of beings that came from the sun. In other words, if you look authentically at the ancient documents, they do not present a picture of Darwinistic evolution, whether it is pre-Buddhistic Taoistic or pre-Taoistic or Pagarian or that of Eastern Europe or Aryan or pre-Aryan, that of North India. Clearly the sons of light came from the higher worlds to this planet. Kleyu, as they're called in Tibetan, and they will return again when the blueprint is complete, when the time doors are open and the knowledge is brought up from the deep. Now we move to the next grid point, which is that area encircled here in Ryukyus, off the island of Taiwan. In the island of Okinawa, we see a small cluster of jivas. In Yasho Jima, we see Yonaguni Jiva. It is here where we have done recent research. Next. We go to our third document. With special permission, you are honored to see this. Document number 3. Turn off the cameras,
please. A professional scuba diver who lives on Yonaguni. In 1986, Arataki made an astonishing discovery. He found what appeared to be a giant stone structure of some kind, rising majestically upward from the bottom of the ocean at a depth of 100 feet. Arataki approached Okinawa's prestigious University of the Ryukyus. He described his find to Dr. Masaaki Kimura, a professor of marine geology. Professor Kimura couldn't believe it. A castle beneath the sea? Impossible. But Arataki insisted. Finally, Professor Kimura loaned him an underwater camera, and Arataki soon returned with pictures of his find. Impressed but not convinced, Professor Kimura sent some of his students to investigate. They returned with tales of several giant stone monuments in the area, and finally, Professor Kimura made the first of many visits to Yonaguni. Professor Kimura and his students began a careful study of the site, measuring and recording various angles and dimensions. They even built a scale model of the structure.
9 different levels.
I must confess that when I first heard Arataki's story, I didn't believe a word of it. But now, my students and I have been studying the Yonaguni monument for almost 9 years. I'm fully convinced that this was once a natural rock formation, which was later shaped by intelligent beings into an inspiring structure, a structure which has since been copied by many cultures in Japan, Central and South America, and in many of the islands of the Pacific, such as Tonga, Ponape, and Easter Island. Look at these 90-degree angles here at the base of this wall, and again over here by these steps. My students have found clear indications of tool marks in several places. Look at these proportions, which are almost perfect, architecturally speaking. The structure could be an ancient shrine, possibly celebrating a deity, resembling the god Nirakanai, who, the locals say, brought happiness to the people of Okinawa from beyond the sea. This could be evidence of a new culture, as there are no records of a people intelligent enough to have built such a monument 13,000 years ago.
Wait a minute. 13,000 years ago? Where did that date come from? All the history I've ever read teaches us that the only people on Earth in those days were primitive hunter-gatherers.
We're going to stop at this point. We have only limited
time. There are only two possibilities that would explain the presence of a 350-foot stone monument at the bottom of the ocean.
We have to stop at this point.
Could have sunk as the...
You're going to see this. Well, I'm sorry we have just so much time here, but in the future presentation of Brisbane, I'm going to show you the actual pyramids revisited by underwater technology that worked with the Titanic excavations in the North Atlantic. This is a brief schematic of the movements of people then from Asia who brought the knowledge of pyramid building, temple building, across the Pacific to areas of Indonesia, even Australia, as we have seen by the recent headlines. The human record goes back at least 68,000 years and then to the South American boundaries. With all due respect for our time slot, I want to move then to our final documentary on the Merkaba, which is going to tie this together. This is a picture of how the temples above land and under the ocean tie together, paraphysically and metaphysically. So with all due respect, we're going to take a look at a assortment and interpretation of these temples that the keys of Enoch predicted would be found in Japan, 1973, are now being found at 122 degrees longitude east. With precision, we know the keys are accurate. The temple steps, all of which point to activity the ancients regarded in the lands of Lemuria and Mu. These structures fulfill that part of scripture that speaks of the foundations of the deep being moved prior to the coming of the Messiah or Messianic age. We go to our Merkaba documents, which is part of the meditation capstone.
The divine name of names, the ancient of days, shall open up, as we are told in the keys of Enoch, the house of many mansions. Thy role is the infinite species, the infinite seed within this house of many mansions.
And no more will there be any curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there in the city.
And glory. We are one, the two I.
And night will be no more, and they have no need of lamplight or sunlight, for God will shed light upon them. And so, beloved, we are here as a light unto the nations. Let this be our higher work. We who reach for the heavens shall receive the light and the signs. The image of the hierarchy and the image of the Trinity are patterns. And all of the temples of the world, which were the original work of the architect known as the Order of Melchizedek, Melchizedek. In reclaiming our past, we open the future door to work with the cosmic Christ, the coming of the Son of Man, and the coming of the Dove, the quickening of the Spirit, and the coming of Alpha and Omega. It unites us, salutes us, unifies us in the gathering of the 12 tribes. The image of Jeremiah the prophet and Isaiah is fulfilled, and John the divine rejoices with us. And so we are blessed. Our courage to be the humanity of the 21st century. Amen, 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 and amen.
This documentary has won 3 gold medals. It's available through our information booth. It's being translated into many languages. It's a depiction of what we found beneath Egypt and in the oceans of the Pacific. So again, I thank you for your patience with us. We thank Duncan for making this happen. And we're just at the beginning of taking back the planet. So put... Jeremy Lee and Jeremiah the prophet together, you have a quickening of what's about to happen when the White Brotherhood makes its manifestation. There'll be a cosmic cleanup very quickly. Anyway, we have a wonderful period of the Congress that's going to continue, and I will be available for questions and answers privately. Again, we thank you, Desiree and I, for the moments that we've had to share with you. And those who can make it to our future seminar in Brisbane, there will be more documentation on the actual pyramids that we found in the Pacific. Once again, thank you.